Welcome to That's My Personal Business, where we are pulling back the curtain on all things personal, all things business, and all things in between. Every Monday, we're hopping into your headphones to help you skip the learning curve by hearing from industry professionals, including myself. I am a destination wedding photographer turned business coach who now gets to lead hundreds of creative entrepreneurs in building lives of artistic growth, wealth, and freedom. And now it's time for you to do the same. Hello, you guys. Welcome back to another episode of That's My Personal Business. Wow, that sounded so official. Can you believe how official that sounded? I feel like I sounded way fancier than I normally do. But welcome back to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you here. It has been a busy week for me. And by busy, I mean I'm just so used to working at home that anytime I'm not working from home feels crazy. So I had my brand shoot yesterday with Zena of the amazing Hey Zena Photography. She is actually a past Becoming client, and I knew I had to have her do my branding photos. She's so talented. So she's in the Bay Area. We brought her out to New York and we had that yesterday, which was so much fun. I really wanted to do it. It was cute because like so many of the concepts were actually somewhat similar to concepts I've done in the past, but they felt like so much more powerful because I actually live here now and have lived here for like 2.5 years. Whereas the first ones I did, I had only lived here for like a couple months. I did a brand shoot here like before I moved to New York. And it was just cute because there was a lot of similarities. Like we even did shots that were really similar to like my first brand shoot. And it just felt very full circle. It felt very emotional. It was really sweet. And then, so we did like a like 90s businesswoman concept where I just wanted to like look and feel like a man in the 90s, like so empowering. And so like, I'm the woman in charge, which is something we like do not see enough in corporate. And moving here has made me feel a lot more corporate. And I've learned a lot from like corporate management and my friends in corporate. So I wanted to do a concept revolving that, which I'm so excited for. I'm just so excited for you guys to see everything. And we also did like kind of like a self-love concept where honestly, my body has changed a lot over the last year and a half. My medication has made me gain a decent amount of weight and it has sucked. It's been really, 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 really hard, honestly, on my mental health. And it has come with comments from people. Like people have made comments about my body more, comments about my weight gain. It's just been really tough. And this body though has carried me through so much. And so I really wanted to like stop punishing my body, even if in like hating it, even if it was just for like 2 hours, and instead just show like this really abundant love and care towards it and like document it in a really beautiful way because it's carried me through so much. So it was like a really emotional aspect of our shoot. I shared a little bit about it on Instagram, but like, I don't know, it was really beautiful. Zena held such like a beautiful and amazing space, I feel like, for me to feel comfortable and for me to feel beautiful. And so anyway, I can't recommend her enough. I'm not going to tell you all of the concepts, I guess. I will wait for you to see them all, but I'm just like so excited about it. We're also going to be doing like a full YouTube video of like our brand planning call, how we planned things, our mood boards, our behind the scenes of the actual shoot, so that you can see like what goes into a brand photo shoot and how to plan it in a way that's actually impactful and not just like headshots, which I'm really excited to share that all with you guys. So that's what's happened this week. And then next week is the first of the artificial light workshops, which I cannot believe they've come up so quickly, but I have gone all out for these workshops and I'm so excited. Like we are working with the most amazing team of like bridal stylists, hair and makeup, florists, like models. Like it is going to be, I really did not hold anything back for these workshops. So if you're coming to them, oh my God, I'm so excited for you to be here. And if you didn't make it to this round, go ahead and get on the wait list for the next one. We'll link that for you guys in the show notes. But yeah, I'm just like, I'm giddy. It's going to be not only such an amazing day of learning, but such an amazing day for portfolio building. So I'm giddy. I'm just giddy. It's going to be a busy couple weeks, but I'm thrilled. And then in April, I think I'm going to take a little bit of time off just to like recoup from the craziness that is going to be March. I'm trying to think of what else is new. I think that's kind of it. Oh my God. How could I forget to tell you? This week only, slash this month for those of you on the podcast, because you guys are my fave, don't tell anyone else, and I let you guys have access to things longer than anyone else. We are doing the most insane marketing bundle. We are giving away $1,300 worth of marketing products, aka every single marketing product we have. I'm talking complete SEO masterclass and web design, Instagram, building a profitable Pinterest, how to grow your TikTok, how we grow our TikTok to 30K in over or under a year, building a branded website, the master marketing workbook. Like, it is insane. It's literally like every single marketing tool you would ever need, every single marketing tool and tactic and strategy we use, all together for $99, which there's literal afterpay for this. So you could get it as little as $24. So we're going to link that for you guys in the show notes. I was like, you know what we need to do? We need to just like get marketing offers into people's hands, because the amount of questions I get about like Instagram, SEO, TikTok, Pinterest, and like how to use them in order to get new clients is abundant. And so we're basically giving it away for free. This is going to be a one-time thing, so do not miss out on it. We'll link it for you guys in the show notes. Again, it's $99 for over $1,300 worth of stuff, which I'm just like blown away that we're even doing this, but I'm really excited that we are. So many of you have already dived into it. I don't know what the past tense of that is, but there you go. Here's all of that. And let's get back into the second week of Money March, you guys. I'm so excited because it's Money March, and Money March is one of my favorite things that we've done this year, because I think talking about money is so necessary and so needed, and it's such a taboo topic. And so I'm so excited that we can like have very candid conversations with money experts with you on the podcast. And this week we are having Christy Bowie, and she is Christy Bowie. I messed this up on the podcast. You'll hear me do it. Christy Bowie. Christy Bowie is absolutely amazing. She is so smart. Like, I was just like, oh my God, this woman is so smart. I'm so thrilled we had her on the podcast. She is answering so many amazing questions within this episode. So I'm so excited for you guys to listen to it. I'm gonna stop blabbing now. Let's go ahead and get into it. Follow her, listen to her, take notes, all of that good stuff. And as always, if you like this episode, please share it on your stories, share it with a friend, leave us a review. It means the absolute world when it comes to getting the podcast out there. It truly means more than you know. So I love you guys, I mean it, and let's get into it. Hello, hello, you guys. Welcome back to another episode, and welcome, Christy Bowie. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be here.
I'm also, is it Bowie or Bowie?
Bowie, actually.
Bowie. Oh my gosh, I didn't even get any of them right. Bowie. Wait, that's so fun.
Nobody does, and it's kind of like, there is one point in my life at which I was convinced it was like said differently because so many people say it differently. So like, I don't even care.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Christy Bowie, thank you for coming on the podcast. For those that don't know you yet, do you want to give us a little intro on yourself?
Yeah. So I am a CPA and financial consultant focusing on small businesses. So really, you know, what I'm about is empowering, you know, especially women, also men, but mostly women, you know, with money and being able to talk about money, use it, not make it stressful, especially those who are business owners and money and finances and taxes and all of that can feel extremely overwhelming. You know, I'm here to kind of break it down and make it a tool to be used wisely and powerfully.
Oh my gosh, what like perfect timing as we go into like the throes of tax season.
Oh, don't I know?
Yeah, I'm like, thank you for making the time before what I'm sure is like the craziest part of your year every year.
Yes, it is. But I, you know, I will say, and you know, maybe this is something we'll get into in conversation, but I have made a really deliberate business where it is not as crazy as it could be this time of year. And so, you know, me being able to take time for things like this is so, so intentional in the way that I've built my business, even during the busy seasons.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Let's talk about that. I'm like, because what made you get into more of like a creative business owner space of CPA? I'm not going to expand on my question. That's just my question.
Yeah. So when I was in school, kind of learning, I guess back up a little bit, when I was in school trying to figure out, you know, I was always told, go get a career that will always be in demand and you'll always have a job. And I'm like, cool, practical, love it. Accounting. You always need accounting.
Amazing.
And so, you know, I started down this route when I was in school. I could kind of specialize in like what type of accounting. And so I started learning about taxes and how you can almost kind of like game the system and not do anything different on your end, but like get a different result using the tax code and leveraging all of this information. And I was like, this is kind of cool. It's like a puzzle that you put together a certain way and you can get, you know, a better or worse result depending on how well you know what the end result is supposed to look like. And so that really fascinated me. And I said, this is so cool. Like, I want to help individuals do that. But right out of school, you know, I was pushed into these big corporate companies. It was like the prestigious job to have. And so I worked at one of the big four firms and kind of, I like to say, you know, I got on my resume, I got the experience. And I was just like a tiny piece of this massive machine that would help massive companies who, at the end of the day, didn't really care about what I was doing for them. I wasn't touching anybody personally. And for me, that's what I got into this to do. And so I went from that company to a smaller company that actually is, so there's a difference between kind of what the CPA does and what like a financial advisor does. And a financial advisor is going to be more of somebody who helps you invest the money and figures out that. And so I actually moved to like a financial planning firm where the basis of what they did was help people build wealth. But the first step of that was how do we save money on taxes to have money to build wealth? And so I moved to that firm and I really got, well, everybody we worked with was business owners, and I got a massive picture of, you know, what this journey looks like from day one of saving taxes to day, you know, whatever it is when you are able to throw all of that money into a cash balance plan to save a ton of money. And so through that, I absolutely loved this journey. And it kind of started to dawn on me that if you've listened to any podcast I've ever done, I say this every time, I was making the rich get richer. And, you know, it was great, but why didn't everybody have access to this level of knowledge? Like the fees we charged were just, you know, only for the people who already had successful businesses. And it just started to dawn on me that I want this to be accessible to everybody. So, you know, I started my firm and I said, you know, this is going to be a place where, you know, people who maybe don't have a conventional level of education in business. I actually say a lot of my clients are people who never intended to start a business. Like they are so good at their craft, but they have no formal business training. And so I wanted a place where those people could go to and get this level of advice, feel confident and good about it, and not feel like anyone was judging them. Like they had to step into, you know, a stuffy corporate office and had quote unquote dumb questions. Like the environment I wanted to create was one where people got access to this information without feeling bad about where they're coming from and feeling comfortable that someone is going to support them.
I love that. I'm like, that's such a like beautiful transition from like, I love talking to people that started in corporate and then moved their way down into the more like self-employed realm, because I think that experience is so niche and like it's amazing to have that contrast.
Yeah, and I even think like I tell clients like me being self-employed and like going through all of the exact same things you guys are going through, I think it makes me a better advisor because, you know, I had no idea the and one of the things that I emphasize a lot in my business is like the emotional tie to money. When you are in this corporate world, it is spreadsheets and checkbox and like cool, it's here you go. And if I had a client, one of my clients now who came to me then, like, I would be like, well, why aren't you doing this? Like, it doesn't make sense from a numbers standpoint. But because I am also a business owner who understands like the highs and lows and the stresses of business and why sometimes we do things that like maybe aren't the most logical on paper, that has made me a better advisor to my clients because I can now, you know, relate to them and understand what they're going through too.
I love that. I think that's so, like, that insight is so important and so niche, and also, like, just needed. Like, I know I relate to other people that are self-employed so much more. So, I'm like, that must be so nice to, like, be working alongside you know what the journey is like. So, because you know what the journey is like, talk to us about, like, where one can start with managing their finances. Like, let's say, I know when I first started, you're just kind of like, surviving managing your finances. Like, you're just like, I hope it's like all of the memes that are like the IRS isn't telling you what instructions to do and you're just guessing, and if you guess it wrong they're like, okay, jail. Like, I feel like that's what the beginning of your business feels like, where you're like, I hope I'm doing something not wrong. Like, I'm not doing it right, but here's hoping I'm avoiding what's doing it, like what could be wrong. Where can someone start managing their finances the right way? What does that look like? Like, take us on the journey of the beginning of managing your finances.
Yeah, I would say just the number one thing is, when you start, make a habit and a practice of your business is separate from yourself, whether that just be, you know, the bank account for the business is separate from yours. There are some legal implications of why you should do that, but also it's just good practice. And then also, like, I want you to think in your brain, my business bank account is not my emergency savings account or my, oh my gosh, I want this new fun thing. Like, it is not a bank account for you. It is the business, and that is entirely separate from you. And I think adopting this mindset is a really good transition to being able to manage this flow of, you know, income from your business may be super irregular, and how do you manage that? And so viewing, you know, my personal money is my personal money, my business money is my business money, and they do not like mingle other than when I pay myself from my business to my personal. So that's number one, just like technically creating these and creating that boundary in your mind. Number two is making like a system or a habit to kind of record your data. And it doesn't have to be anything like super formal. I obviously work with clients who are, you know, maybe a little further down the road than just starting. And we have, you know, systems and QuickBooks and reports, but it doesn't have to be that when you start. I always say, like, I could give you the best plan in the world and it doesn't mean anything unless you're going to follow it. So don't sit here and like make this elaborate thing for yourself that you're not going to follow. Like, figure out what is doable for you and start there. And it may be once a month, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to write down all my expenses, I'm going to write the category, and I'm going to do it all in a Google spreadsheet, and we're good. But I will say, like, the biggest thing for me with money is make it a system and a habit, because if you don't, it then feels overwhelming. If you sit down and you have 5 months of money to catch up on and you've let it eat at you constantly, you're training yourself that this is overwhelming. And every time I avoid it and push it down the road, like, you're teaching yourself that this is something that is overwhelming and we're scared of. Versus, I say money should be like brushing your teeth every night. It's like, okay, I just have such a habit that it's not a big deal. Like, I have learned how to do it. It's not something I sit here and say, do I really want to brush my teeth tonight? Like, no, it's just kind of part of you. And for me, that takes away the emotion for a lot of people. And that's, the emotion is where we start to really struggle. And so making it systematic, I think, is the key to starting off with your money.
So where can one start making it systematic? Like, what are those systems? What do they look like?
Yeah. So number one, I would say, is just how we record, you know, what comes in and out of our business. You know, we all know that that's going to be important come tax time. And if, you know, if you're listening to this in April and you're like, oh my gosh, I have to do a year's worth of stuff. Yeah, this is why we want to do it monthly or weekly. So that, and then number two is actually developing a consistent system to pay yourself from your business that does not look like, oh, hey, I have a lot of money in my business, let me move it over to my personal account. Because again, the emotions come into play here, right? If we see we have a surplus of money, we tend to spend it on things we don't need because we're like, cool, I have extra money. And so maybe it's, you know, maybe you say, okay, I typically bring in, you know, $15,000. I have $2,000 of expenses. So in a typical month, I get $13,000 and I can transfer myself $10,000 every month pretty regularly and then let that savings build up, right? So I think it's really important that you have, and trust me, I know your business goes up and down and up and down. Mine does. I see it. But there has to be some level of normalcy for you on the personal side, because that is just how our brains are wired. That is why we feel so much more comfortable with a W-2 job than self-employment, because it is quote unquote consistent. But I really believe there's a way to create that level of consistency for yourself. It just takes a little bit more effort to do so.
So how can one, like, I know it's not a rule of thumb and I know it's different state to state, so I'm like, I know enough to know that, but as a general rule of thumb, how can one set up systems to like pay themselves while also making sure that they're prepared for tax season? Like, let's go back to basics. Like, what does that look like? Can you give like percentages or like a rule of thumb? Like, how can people prep for that?
So I would say, and again, like you said, it's different based on state. It's different based on, your tax brackets, if you have a spouse who's working. So all of this is like very, very high level. But I would say, 25 to 30% of your profit, if you set that aside, ideally that should more than cover your taxes for the year. And the key here that I think a lot of people miss is the with your business structure. So, I'm assuming everybody we're talking to here is some sort of LLC, and that's really the typical structure I see. An
I'm like,
LLC
please,
either
everyone be an
electing.
LLC.
Huh?
I'm like, everyone, please be an
Yes.
LLC. If you're not, please
So,
go
yeah, be
register
an
as an
LLC,
LLC.
either, electing to be an S corp or just staying as a sole proprietorship. The key thing to know here is these businesses are what we call pass-through entities. What that means is all of the income, all of the profit made at that entity is deemed to pass through to you. So if the entity makes, $100,000 in the year, you're taxed on $100,000. It does not matter if you pay yourself absolutely nothing from your business. Like, the actual flow of money does not matter. The government essentially looks through the business and says, the business made this, therefore you made this. So that's a really key thing here, because a lot of people think, oh, I only paid myself, $5,000, even though I made this whole much. Like, I shouldn't have to have taxes. So understanding that fact is kind of number one in this. But number two is looking at your profit and setting aside about 30% of that for taxes, whether or not you actually pay yourself that. And this can be in, a separate business account. This can be you pay it to yourself personally and put it in a personal account. And then I would also recommend, if you are an S corporation, honestly, I'm biased, but I would recommend getting professional assistance if you are an S corporation, simply because there's a lot of calculations that go into that. But if you are a sole proprietor and you are just paying quarterly taxes, you're not paying yourself payroll, making sure you're paying into those quarterly taxes so you don't have a penalty. And those are due April, June, September, and January. So as you're setting aside this money, don't just set it aside for the end of the year. Also pay into taxes kind of every quarter.
Okay, amazing. And can you like talk through the difference between, let's say, just like a regular sole prop LLC and an S corp so that people understand what that means?
So I hear a lot of hype out there about S corps, and don't get me wrong, like, I really like them. However, for the right person and the right situation. Like, I don't think anything in money is like a templatized end all be all solution for anybody. And so here I'm going to list kind of some of the key qualifications that I think make somebody eligible for an S corporation, and then we'll talk about why. So number one, I would say an S corporation is something to consider, not a definite, to consider if you're making over $60,000 to $80,000 in profit. It is also something to consider if you feel confident maintaining like really good financial records. I tell people the government takes an S corporation a lot more seriously than a sole proprietorship. You have to file a whole separate return for it. So you have to be ready to like really commit to keeping your financial records. We actually have to present like a balance sheet, like not just a profit and loss statement, like a balance sheet to the government when you have a S corporation. So really committing to maintaining those records properly. And then you also have to run yourself payroll, register for payroll taxes. Like, it is a business you are ready to take seriously, and you are ready to take on the administrative burden of it, whether that be hiring it out or doing it yourself. But it's not something that you're like, cool, this is going to save me money. I'm just going to fill out this form. Like, it's not quite that simple. So, that is kind of when you should think about it. Now, why this is a thing we do, why it matters. So if you are a sole proprietor, when you make money, you are assessed a self-employment tax on all of that money. And if you have been self-employed and filed a tax return, you know, because you don't miss how big that number is. You're like, Why are my taxes so big at the end of the year? And I'm going to key you in on something because everybody says self-employed people pay more taxes. And like, yes, kind of, but it's not as much as you think. Because what happens is W-2 employees actually just pay this out of their paycheck. So they're paying into Social Security and Medicare, which are the two components that make up self-employment tax, but they're paying in throughout the year. When you are an entrepreneur, when you are self-employed, you don't have a W-2 to take it out of. So you're paying all of this at the end of the year. And here's the real kicker. When you are a business owner, you're both the employee and the employer. So the employee normally pays 7.65% for Social Security and Medicare on their end. But as the employer, you pay that double. So long story short, you pay a lot of self-employment taxes as a sole proprietor. Now, when you become an S Corp, you are able to skip some of these self-employment taxes. So the way you do that is you pay yourself two ways. So when you're a sole proprietor, you kind of pay yourself by like distributing money. Cool. Goes from my business to my personal. Great. But when you are an S corporation, you actually do pay yourself a W-2 salary. So for example, you know, I'm an S corporation. I got an email from my payroll company today that says, you're getting paid today from your company. It is formalized. There is a W-2 I received. It gets reported to the government. Social Security and Medicare are taken out of it. Income tax is taken out of it. It's a very formal process. So you're still paying Social Security and Medicare on that portion. It's just coming through the W-2. However, anything that is outside of the W-2, you don't pay any self-employment taxes on. So that is the difference. So if you're making, for example, $100,000, just using an easy number in profit, you will have self-employment tax on all of that as a sole proprietor versus as an S corporation, you could take maybe 60,000 of it and pay yourself as a W-2. And then that extra 40,000, you are saving self-employment taxes on. Now, a lot of people are like, can't I just pay myself like a really low number and keep that good? Not really. So the reason that I always say we want to look at like 60,000 as the minimum threshold is because the IRS does their little IRS thing and is really vague. And they say, you have to pay yourself a reasonable wage. Okay, cool. So how do we figure that out? That's kind of the question mark. And one of the ways I do it at my firm is we have a software that we leverage, but there are plenty of ways to do it out there, you know, whether you have a CPA help you or you figure it out yourself. But you essentially have to pay yourself a reasonable enough wage that the government says, okay, cool, you've paid your share of Social Security and Medicare taxes. And I find that it's very hard to justify that being below, you know, 60, 50, maybe even 40,000. And the difference in the costs to maintain the S corporation, because it's a more expensive return, you usually need bookkeeping. That's not really, that gap isn't closed if you're not making that much money. So long story short, really what we're looking at here is you can save on self-employment taxes with the S corporation, but you have to be ready to do everything else that kind of comes with it.
Amazing. Oh my gosh. That was so much information for those. I'm like, I don't handle my taxes. I haven't handled them since the beginning. I like literally always tell people I'm like the best investment I've ever made is having an accountant. Like I will take it over any that and my assistant. Easy. I will never get rid of them ever. But it can be really overwhelming to even hear. Like I know even I get like really panicky when I talk about taxes, even though it's been smooth sailing and I like am really on top of it and I have an accountant. For those that are listening and are feeling a little overwhelmed, where's like a good place to start or like some basic things that you're like, just make sure you have this and then you can move on to the next thing.
I mean, the number one thing is just documenting what happened for yourself throughout the year, because it's so hard if you're like in April to be filling out this form when you're like, I don't even know what happened. But if you have records of everything that happened, like you could take your time and go back and kind of figure out slowly what happened. And then I would also say the second thing that I mentioned earlier, you know, making your quarterly estimated payments so that you don't have a penalty at the end of the year. Like those are the two key things I would say, you know, if you've got a grasp on those, you don't have to jump into like year one, I'm going to be an S Corp. I'm going to pay myself. Like you don't have to do that. Start slowly, start year one, you know, as a sole prop. I did, I do S corps for a living. Like, I know how to do that. And I was like, no, it doesn't make sense for me yet. Not there. So it's okay to ease into this. It's okay to, you know, just start slowly and have, you know, one step after another. And also don't be afraid to like ask people questions, and kind of just get knowledge about all of it in like a non-scary way. I think this is one of the things that as entrepreneurs, we tend to complain about it, but we don't like actually talk about it. And that's why, you know, again, we're training ourselves that it's scary and overwhelming because we only ever say negative things about it. And like, I'm not saying say positive things about paying taxes. Like, I know none of us like that, but don't treat it as if it's something scary and overwhelming. I actually have a client who was so overwhelmed, you know, the first time we were starting to meet, she kind of wouldn't schedule her first meeting. It was really hard for her to gather documents. And I said, look, all I want you to do, go sit at your favorite coffee shop. Go get yourself a coffee. Like, do things that cause you joy and take yourself on a money date. Like, that's what we're going to call it. We're not going to view it as this overwhelming and scary thing. So I think so, so much of this is reframing our mental opinion of it.
Ooh, I love that. Can we talk about that a little bit more?
Like, yes.
Some of your favorite. I'm like, I would love to know what some of your like, a complete reshift from us talking about S corps, but like, yeah. I would love to know, as you know, a CPA, as a financial advisor, like what some of your favorite money practices are mindset wise as someone that works with money as much as you do.
Yeah. I would say I really, really love when people have the opinion of viewing money as a tool, right? Like it is, there's this two like counter views, right? Like one, money is nothing. Like it doesn't matter. I'm not going to let it have power over me. And like, sure, that's great. But we also know that like, it is worth something. We have to pay, you know, housing. We have to have a roof over our head. We have to pay food. Like, it's just not realistic to have that. And then this other one is kind of like chasing money. Money is the goal. But how do we get to where, you know, we view money as like, it gets us what we want, but it's not, we're desiring it. And so understanding, okay, I want maybe the things that money brings me, and that's okay to want, but I don't just want money for the sake of wanting money. And so having it as a tool, and this is something, you know, I could personally talk about. I've had a huge shift in my business lately. I got my business to a point where, you know, I am making a very comfortable amount of money and it has provided me the life that I want. And I'm now like, I don't need to take another client if I don't want to, because I'm not chasing money. I'm chasing it as a tool to provide me the things that it has done for me. And so being able to approach this as like, it is the tool that provides me the life I want, but I don't desire money just for the sake of desiring money.
I love that mindset shift. Is there like, do you have like favorite resources that have kind of helped you with your money mindset?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think it's a lot of internal work and a lot of thinking about like what you really want. And something that I have started doing, and anybody who knows me, like pre-entrepreneurship is like, that's so not Christy at all, but is like slowing down and really thinking about what do I want out of life? What do I want out of this? And we are just so accustomed to rush, 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 go, 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 do the best and the biggest. And literally sitting and thinking and asking yourself why, like so many times, be like a child, like why? And you might get to a point where you're like, I actually don't want that because I asked myself why and I never really had a good answer. And, you know, for me, it's like, I want to take on this new client. Why? Because I want to grow my business. Why? Because I want to have a big business. Why? I don't know. Like, I actually don't. Like, I don't want to maintain multiple employees. And so really thinking about like what those inner thoughts are for you and like why you have them and learning about yourself. And I think that's going to help you shift your perspective of what money is doing for you in your life.
Ooh, I love that. I'm like, I need to think about that more. I actually was having this like train of thought the other day where I was like, cause I have two businesses and I like want to scale them both. And I had this moment where I was like, do I want to scale them both? Like, do I want to deal with like multiple employees under multiple businesses? Like, am I in a place where I want to deal with that? And I think that's one of the things with the internet is we have so much access to seeing other people do those things that we're like, obviously I'm meant to do that as well. And that might not be the case.
Well, and let me just tell you, as someone who sees a lot more than is shared on the internet, not everyone is being real either. Like, people are lying, or people are making things look way better than they are.
Oh, absolutely. They are. Yeah. I'm like, we could do a whole podcast episode about that, but I'm like, people just be lying right now. People are in their lying era when it comes to what their businesses are doing, which is crazy to me. And I'm sure you see that more than anyone looking at people's literal books.
And I also think kind of what you said, like, I have seen a shift lately in just the environment of entrepreneurship in general, in people being like, wait, I actually want to not scale, or I want to scale down. I don't know if it's just kind of, this year or everything we've been through in the past few years, but I really feel like there's a shift a lot lately in people starting to say, what do I really want versus what did the world tell me I was supposed to do?
That's amazing, Christy. Could you, like, as we wrap up, this has all been so helpful. I'm like, I can't wait to listen back to this episode because I'm like, I have so much thinking to do on the way that I want to like operate my businesses, especially like come tax season. I'm like, let me do a lot of introspection on like how I operated my business over the last year. If you could leave everyone with like one piece of advice or like one actionable item to take in terms of managing their personal or their business finances or even like their money mindset, this is the broadest question ever, but what would that be?
I would say you don't have to do it the way everybody tells you to do. And we're gonna come full circle, 360 moment to where I talked about at the beginning of the episode how my business, like, I created it very intentionally. So this season isn't busy. I was always told, like, if you wanna have a CPA firm, tax season is just gonna be busy. You're gonna have to work 60 hours and then the rest of the year is not gonna be bad. And I said, no. I said, I don't care what you tell me. I know. I refuse to have a business like that. I know there's another way. And I have a business where every single one of my clients is on a retainer model. Every single one of my clients is a year-round client, so that every month of the year we are preparing for tax season. Come tax season, it's literally putting these numbers that I already knew were going to exist into a form and filing it. And because I have every single one of my clients, I have their data, I have their records, I know what's going to happen every single month of the year. I have made it so that tax season, like, yes, it's a little more work. There's no way it's not going to be a little more, but I've created this model and people are mind blown by it. Like, when I present this to clients, they're like, I don't understand. Or, other financial professionals, they're like, how do you do that? Because I didn't listen to what the world told me I had to do. I said, no, I reject that. I don't want that for myself. What else can I do to change the way that things are? Because I don't like the way they are. And so I feel pretty confident that, the success of my business is proof of concept that it's doable. But, that's just the one thing I would kind of leave people with is if you don't like the way that something is working in your business, in your money, in whatever, think of how you can do it differently and then see. And maybe it's not. Maybe you're like, okay, maybe this way won't work, but maybe there's another way. But I don't think we have to keep doing things, running businesses, running money, whatever, the way that every single person says we've had to do for the past whatever years.
Oh my gosh. Well, that is all so incredibly helpful. Thank you so much, Christy. For those who like, we'll obviously link everything in the show notes, but could you tell us where everyone can find you online?
Yeah, so I'm probably most available on Instagram at It's Christy Bowie. The It's is part of it. And that's where you can find me. My website is christybowie.com. You can join my email list. I have a really fun quiz that's like, what celebrity business owner are you? So you can kind of check that out. It's going to tell you, how you should be thinking about things in your business based on how you're naturally inclined to do things. So, I think that's really fun, and you can check all of that out on my website.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Christy, for coming on, and thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.